about Jesus as he began his ministry, that he came preaching the kingdom of God and repentance. The kingdom of God and repentance. Before that, John the Baptist came, and his message was the kingdom of God and repentance. In the Gospels, we have the incident of the ladies coming to the tomb after Jesus was crucified. And Luke chapter 24 is one of the places. But the angels ask them, question, why seek ye the living among the dead? Think about that. Why seek ye that which is alive among that which is not alive? In another account, it says that the angel said, come, see where he laid. He's not there. I want to ask you a question. Your religion, okay, now get this, okay? Don't let the enemy distract you. Your religion, your faith, the things you believe in, do you serve Jesus? Are you here tonight? Or are you streaming? Do you serve God because you don't want to go to hell, or you want to go to that place called heaven where your loved ones will be, you hope, and there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, forever and ever and ever. Now, is that your motivation for being a Christian? Is that what keeps you going? Is that what causes you to come to church when you're tired and you don't feel good, but you come anyhow? Or you pray even when you're too tired to pray? Or you've been standing a while and the preacher asks you to get up again and come down front. And so you do. So what motivates our religion? Now, I would dare say that a large percentage of people start serving God because they're afraid of going to hell. And so they begin to seek Him. But think about what motivates us. What is our Christianity about? And if that is the case, and I'm sure it has been for all of us at some time or another, if that is the case, I want to change your mind. Because He did not die for us to take us to heaven. That's just a result. The reason He takes us to heaven, Jesus said, is so that where I am, you may be also. I want you with me. I want you with me, He says in John 14. He said, that's why I'm coming to get you. I want you with me. What should be the motivation for our Christianity? It should be the person of Jesus. Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know the good. I want to know the bad. I want to know about Him. Knowing who Jesus is. You know, you could go to the Holy Land. Some of you have been there. And you can see places where Jesus probably walked. He walked along the shore of Galilee. Wow, that'd be neat. And you could maybe see where they think He was buried. And, you know, you might sometime say to someone, you know, I shook hands with so-and-so. And, you know, they're a public figure who is highly lifted up. And you got to shake their hand. Wow. So we have events and thoughts in our lives. And, and we can identify with some things. Somebody say they had, you know, they have seen something or another. You know, I saw one time the Eiffel Tower, and I saw it from above. In fact, was leaving Paris, airplane on the way to India to go to Nepal. And I was sitting there on the plane, and I think I've told this before, but I prayed and I said, Lord, I've never seen the Eiffel Tower. How about if you just cause this plane to circle, and I'd like to see the Eiffel Tower. And then I realized that that wasn't going to happen because the runway was going the other way. And that plane took off, and it started turning, and it made a circle and came right over the Eiffel Tower. So, how many of you have seen the Eiffel Tower? Okay, a few of you have. Well, you see, we don't want to know about Jesus. We need to know Him. It's not enough to know Him by salvation. He did not die just to give us eternal life. He died so that we might have a relationship with God. So Jesus said, whenever He began His ministry, that He had come to preach the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And a little bit later, as He gets closer to the end of His ministry, and in fact, He says, is now here. Pilate asked Jesus who He was. Jesus told him, He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, we would fight. My kingdom is not of this world. He also said, in Matthew, Luke, He says that we should, I'll tell you what, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Sermon Mount. I want just to read this. Matthew chapter 6. And the last part of the chapter. He says in verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Don't even make that a part of your worries of life. Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Well, now we may not worry so much about what we're going to wear for clothes, but we may want our children clothed. You know, we may be concerned. You have children in your home or grandchildren. Yeah, hey, you know what? Winter's coming and we've got to get them some winter coats or whatever. He says, don't take thought of these. Look at verse 30. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Do you believe that? We pray for things that He tells us don't even think about. Now, I don't think that God is going to have a nervous breakdown because we do that. In fact, He says that we need to pray and ask Him to bless our bread, bless this day. We give Him thanks and praise, but don't let this occupy your mind too much, He says. For your Father, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, remember we said that righteousness, and this is kind of the conclusion I came to, is aligning God's Word with our life. Because, see, God's doing different things for different ones of us. And someone might say, you know what, God's been dealing with me. I shouldn't be playing the lottery. And maybe the person you're talking to is thinking, why would you play the lottery anyhow? Or they might say, man, I play it every day and God didn't speak to me about it. You see, God deals with us about different things in our lives. And He says, seek ye first. Seek ye first. He didn't say, make this one of the top things in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Or we might put it this way, that you're going to align God's word with what God is doing in your life as He's working His will and His pleasure in your life right now. What He's wanting to do now. You're going to align yourself with His word, not His word to your life. And so, this righteousness He wants us to walk in is not just, well, I'm not supposed to lie, I'm not supposed to cheat, not supposed to steal, etc. But He wants to speak to us about things that have to do with us now. He wants to talk to young people about some things that He doesn't talk to older folks about, and the other way around. He will talk to poor people about things that He doesn't talk to rich people about, and the other way around. God is wanting us to seek Him and what His Word says about us in our life. Now, because, or we can see this in that, God will deal with us about things He doesn't deal with other people about. Why? Because He's trying to get His Word to be He's trying to get us to be aligned to His Word, because that's what we have need of. That's part of the kingdom of heaven. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek that first. And seek His righteousness, or His rightness, or the rightness for your life at this time. And it may change several times a day. You may encounter something, the first thing in the morning that, God speaks to you and, okay, all right, I'm going to do this. And so you're trying to align yourself with God's word. And then later in the day, somebody at work comes and they say something or do something that offends you. And so the Lord just speaks to you and says, hey, just forgive them. Okay. And so you're aligning the Word of God with your life and what He is doing at that moment. We need to learn to do that. We need to become proficient at letting God align us with His Word, to put His Word in our lives. So He says that we need to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to pray about the kingdom of God and His Word working in our lives. And we need to do that first. And He says, and then all these other things will be added to you. So, He says that He'll take care of us. He says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And so He acknowledges to us that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His glory. Now, I'd like for you to go to John chapter 8 and... kind of like Mark did this morning, if you're used to just watching the screen, we apologize for that. But, I'm glad that you brought your Bibles. I said John 8. Didn't I was going to John 18. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. John 8, the last part of the chapter. Jesus said, they ask Him a question in verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? So who makest thou thyself? Who do you say you are? Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that He's your God. Your God honors me. You say He's your God. Yet you have not known Him. These are religious people. They do all the right actions. They go through everything right. Except Jesus says your heart's not right. And He says, my Father is the one that you say is your God. He says, you've not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I don't know Him, He said, I'd be lying like you do. But I know Him and keep His sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him in verse 57, thou art not yet 50 years old You're saying you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, Yeah, verily, verily, I say unto you, in fact, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And so they took up stones to stone him. But Jesus said that he is the I am. You see, Jesus was God. He said he was God. They accused him. You're saying you're God. Yeah, yeah. He said he and his Father was one. Okay, so Jesus said, put himself in that position that he was not just a part of the kingdom of God. He's the king of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God. Now, it is his good pleasure, he says, to give you the kingdom. God wants you to have the kingdom of God. In fact, he says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, such, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace. It's a Holy Ghost within you. The kingdom of God is within us, Scripture says. The kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. Now, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Use both words, interchangeable. The kingdom. Jesus came preaching the kingdom and repentance. John Baptist preached repentance, and he preached the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? It's about there. Now, the kingdom of heaven actually became a part of us on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was made available. And so we now have the Spirit that was in Jesus in us. Okay? We are now in the kingdom of heaven. So he has made available to us the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus said that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so we need to be seeking his good pleasure. We need. I challenge you to study the word, young and old alike here, and just get your concordance and study about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Study that out because that's what he wants you to see. He gave us the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is not a place. It's not heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within us. It's love and joy and peace. It's the power of the Spirit that lived in Jesus coming in us. Now, with that, he challenges us. He doesn't challenge us. He tells us that we are to repent. Amen. Us growing in the kingdom of heaven cannot take place any more than what we repent. He wants to fine-tune our lives. Okay? He's trying to get us ready for heaven. He's getting us ready for him to come and to get us. But we need to be convinced that Jesus is this I am. There is a God, you know. Hey, I want to challenge you to something else. Do you believe there's a God? Yeah, of course we do. Do we really believe there's a God? I mean, do we believe that there is a God? If we really believe there is a God, I mean, we really believe it. As we grow spiritually, we will seek that God. And when you seek that God, you will find him. There is a God. And he came, the word says, he came in his Son to manifest or to reveal himself to us. God wants to reveal himself to us. God loves us. God loves us. If we're not careful, we will get so hung up on the Old Testament sacrifices and rituals and commandments and such that were to lead us, prepare us for the coming of Jesus, that we'll live there instead of our desire being to know him. He wants us to know Him intimately and personally. Not to say, hey, I've been to the place where He was buried. I've been to the place where the angels came and rolled the tomb back. I've been to the edge of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was. I want to tell you what. I would rather see my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren than to hear about them. I'd rather be in their house than to see a picture of their house. Oh, I've got a picture of their house. Oh, I've been in that house. Oh, that's different. But it is better to meet them personally. What is your personal relationship to Him? He wants you to know Him intimately. He wants you to know Him. That same extent whereby Paul said that he would give up everything in his life and did that he might know Him, have that relationship with Him. So Jesus goes so far as to say, don't even give thought to what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, about those things. He said, seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. How its word can affect you. What God wants done in your life. What is God doing in your life right now? Well, He may be allowing you to go through some disappointments. He may be allowing you to enjoy life so much that you've never enjoyed life like this, or someplace in between. There may be a lot of things going on in your life. But I can tell you that what He is wanting to do is to minister to us and bring us into a closer relationship with Him. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him whereby He can work His will and His good pleasure in our lives. Now, if we do not seek Him, if we do not seek Him to search our hearts and talk to us about us, then we're not going to repent. Repentance is a necessity for eternal life. And so the Christian should be a person that's repenting all the time. I'm not talking about living under condemnation. I'm talking about we're talking to God. We recognize the work that Jesus has done in our lives. And so we ask Him to search us. Lord, show me what You'd like to change in my life. Lord, show me what You'd like to change in raising my children. Or You'd like to change, Lord, in how I run my business or whatever. Lord, show me things that You want me to change. And He will.
Yes, He will.
He will. And then what our next step is, we're going to ask Him to forgive us. We're going to repent.
Yes.
Jesus came preaching repentance. The kingdom of heaven and repentance. Because it is repentance towards Him, asking Him to forgive us, that does away with that obstacle of us growing and knowing Him. It does away with that obstacle because He forgives us and He never mentions it again. And He wants us to align His word, align us with His word. It's so important. I'd like for you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Pastor Mark had shared from this morning. The Lord's Prayer talks about, to Him be the glory, the power, the kingdom forever. Well, that is true. Jesus preached the kingdom. He wants us to walk in the kingdom. He wants us to live that. I want you to take note in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I really appreciated that message this morning. And I had this verse in mind, and when he said that, I was, wow. Okay, and so, Brother Mark was talking about us aligning ourselves, you know, realizing that it is finished. We can walk in His righteousness. We can walk in this new creature status. I know we need to realize who we are in Jesus. You know, this world is not our home. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, that got him in trouble because he's going around calling himself a king. But that's okay. He is. To him belongs glory and power. So in this chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, says in verse 15, "He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more." Our satisfaction, he said, when we know no man by the flesh. He's not trying to please people. And Jesus, He's not there anymore either. Okay. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God." Now look at this, verse 18. "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself," wow, "by Jesus Christ." Yes. Yeah. All things are of God. Everything that matters is of God, like Pastor Mark said this morning. "And He has reconciled us to Himself by the work of Jesus. And given to us," as Pastor Mark said, "the minister of reconciliation, to it," or to this extent, "that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them," or not putting it on their account, "and hath committed to us this word of reconciliation." Or He wants us to go tell people, if you repent and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, He will forgive you of your sins, and it won't be on your record. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've sat in court many a time when there were people, men, women, young people, who asked the judge to work it out to where they could get their sentence done away with, where it doesn't show up on their record. I want to tell you what. I've seen some people really happy when the judge made arrangements for them to get the sentence expunged from their record. It's not on their record anymore. Now, we know that that's really not true, but it is true. In other words, it can't be brought up anymore, but they can find, yeah, back whenever this 72-year-old person was 15 that they committed this crime and it was expunged from their record. How do you know that? Well, it's on the record. Now, when it comes to Jesus, it's not on the record. I mean, it's not only on the record, but He who never forgets anything forgets it. He forgives us of our sins. We are to tell people that Jesus takes away their sins, but we need to repent. We need to repent. We need to come to a place to where we are sensitive to the Holy Ghost speaking to us. Remember, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit about a lot of things, one of which is that we're the children of God. But His Spirit bears witness to us about what He has said and what He wants to do in our lives. So we need to seek Him. We will be more intimate with Him. We will be more sensitive to His working in our life. Remember, it is God's will to work in your life, to bring about His good pleasure, Paul tells us in Philippians. This is what He wants to do. He wants to work in our lives. It's kind of like raising your children or your grandchildren. You're going to teach them things. You teach them things when they're 4 that you want them to know long before they get to be 13. And so we teach them things. And God's teaching us as we grow. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, He's excited about giving it to you and to myself. So, he says that he is giving us this authority, and like Pastor Mark said this morning, not only authority, but he wants us to be in the business of reconciling people to God. Now, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now that means you've got an authority. You're an ambassador. Ambassador has authority. An ambassador has the authority to tell the people that he's the representative for whoever he's ambassador from. When he speaks, he's speaking for the person that sent him. And so when he says something, it's true. That's it. It's got all the authority of the person that's sent him. Now, we're ambassadors for Christ. Are you with me on this? We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ, for this message of Christ, for what he is doing. Jesus said that he was going to leave. But he said to the disciples, now, you're going to do greater works than I've done. Okay, now we're going to rationalize that, you know, and say, well, he means we're going to do more works than him because his time is limited on earth. No, he said we're going to do greater works than him. And we need to get about it. He wants us doing things for him. Now, the work, you know, the works that he wants us to do. First of all, the work that he wants us to do is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor, love others as ourselves. Are you hearing me? They asked Jesus, hey, what's the works that we need to do? They gave him some recommendations even. So what are the works? What are the works that we do, Jesus? What are the works that we should do? Love people. Love people. These are the works that we do, first of all. Because if we don't do that, our foundation is gone. Why build a house if you don't have a foundation? And so the foundation of our lives is going to crumble, our spiritual life, unless we build on that foundation of Christ, Paul said. So he gives us this ministry of telling people that Jesus will forgive them of all of their sins. We're ambassadors. We can speak for him. Okay, we can speak for him. We can speak to the devils. We can rebuke devils. We can fight the real enemy, devils. Hello? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember, we wrestle against devils. And we can pray against them and speak to them. And, you know, I've had devils tell me, well, who are you? You know, who are you to tell me what to do, you know? Well, I'm a son of the living God. Oh. Okay. And they recognize that because they know that he came to destroy them. He came to destroy the works of the devils. So have you been busy telling devils to leave your children alone, your loved ones alone? Well, let's get with it, folks. We are ambassadors. We come carrying a message from Jesus. We are ambassadors for Christ. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We carry a message. What is the message? Hello. Right here. Whatever he says unto us. Jesus said, hey, what I tell you is what the Father tells me. Well, what we're going to tell people is what Christ tells us. And he tells us to go tell people to repent and ask him to forgive them. You know, I've seen people, I pray with them to ask them to repent, you know, and I know that they didn't get it. And, you know, they didn't understand it. And, you know, that really bothered me. And then I realized that when they would do this, they would repent. The fact that they did, it wasn't long until there were some changes in their lives. See, because they didn't say things the way I thought they should or do certain things, maybe didn't have any tears or whatever at all, you know, I mean, how can you be saved without tears? But they, you know, they asked Jesus, they spoke the words and asked Jesus. And they would say, yeah, I believe he forgave me. And I think, I don't know whether you believe that or not. That's really spiritual, isn't it? That's really helping the person along, you know, leaving an atmosphere there, you know, of unbelief. But then I see that any effort that a person will make towards Jesus, he will reach back to them. Okay. And so, you know, I've witnessed to people, they were so drunk they couldn't sit on a bar stool. They would hold on to the person next to them. And being stone drunk, yeah, preacher, I know what you're talking about. And they would pray and ask Jesus to forgive them. And I've seen changes in their lives. Because God keeps working with them. See, don't ever underestimate the Word of God. You know, you can pray for someone or rebuke devils that's trying to destroy their lives. And I'll tell you one thing, the devils hear it. And God does too. He has made us ambassadors, folks. We have the authority. He's given us authority to speak His Word. He's given us the authority to do what He said. Well, look at it in Luke chapter 4. And I'm gonna quit here in a couple hours. I promise you. In Luke chapter 4, got to be a verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed you because you're going to carry His message to the lost. You're going to carry His message to the hurting. You're going to carry His message to those who love Him, but they need to hear that He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, and He was sent to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and there's a lot of people bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which he's quoting from Isaiah. But the acceptable year of the Lord was right then. Here is the Messiah on the scene. So He has authorized you as an ambassador. And you can tell the devil that. I am an ambassador for Christ. And when I tell you, devil, you've got to quit doing that. You've got to quit doing that. In Jesus' name. See, because we are ordained by the Word and the Spirit to speak. Well, let's look in the next verse here, back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are ambassadors, verse 20, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We shared with you, but it was really God sharing with you. He called you, beseeched you by us. It was Him talking to you. It was Him doing the work. We gave you the words. Are you getting this? He said, this is as though God drew you using us. We pray in Christ's stead. We're praying just as though Christ was there. I'm praying for you. You know, Paul says, I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you to grow in love. I pray for you, you know, that you'll withstand the forces of the devil and such. And this is why it's a good thing to pray the Word of God sometimes. But He said, we pray for you in Christ's stead. When we pray for you, because we recognize we are ambassadors, when we pray for you, it's as though Christ Himself was praying for you. You're giving Him a message. You're praying a message. Are you with me? Man, that's powerful. In fact, He says here, be ye reconciled to God. We're praying for you to be reconciled to God. We're praying for you to repent of your sins. And us telling you that, because this is what our commander-in-chief said for us to give you this message. This is the message. The message is, be ye reconciled to God. Repent of your sins. For He who hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, the Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is what God wants to do for sinners. Oh, wow. Wonder where we could find some sinners. Well, hallelujah. We need to ask Him, Lord, show me. Show me my sins. Why? Why? He's not going to say, "Boy, I thought you'd never ask. I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time." No, we just need to be listening. We need to be sensitive. But not just for our sins. You know, when He speaks to us, we need to repent and ask Him to forgive us. That's part of growing in Him. Lack of repentance, lack of being tender-hearted to Him, causes us to not grow as we should, because He's wanting to work in us. And Psalm says it's sin that separates us from God. So it'll hold us back from God. So we're going to repent. We're going to recognize He sends us as ambassadors. Pastor Mark was saying this morning, we've got this ministry of reconciliation, and He wants us to realize who we are in Him. We are not just ambassadors, folks. We're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is in us. We have that spirit in us that is the same spirit that was in Jesus. The spirit is not limited. The spirit is not everybody gets a little dab. No, the spirit lives in us. The spirit of God lives in us. And the spirit of God can do anything. We have been commissioned to pray. I challenge you to pray for me, that I will pray. I am going to pray for you, that you will pray. Pray for people that they will pray. Pray, pray. Paul prayed for people to pray. Certainly we should, because we're saved and given authority to go speak as an ambassador. And that is tremendous, tremendous authority. Stand together with us. Thank you so much for your patience, if you were. And if you were not patient and you're sitting there fretting about how late it's getting, I forgive you. If someone does you wrong, do like Jesus did. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, forgive them. That's a good way for you to not have to feel bad towards someone if you have an offense. Lord, forgive them. And you know what? He will forgive them, because you are praying in Christ's stead. Now, you can't pray that a person repents of all their sins and accept Jesus and them do it because you prayed it. But when someone offends you, does something, you can ask Him to forgive that offense. Don't put it on their account. And you know what? He won't. He won't put that on the account. Now, He won't take all their sins away because you say that, because you don't know all their sins. But you can say, "Lord, don't put that." Just like Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't put this on their account. Well, Jesus never prayed a worthless, needless prayer. And if He prayed it, we need to pray it. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your cooperation tonight, coming down and just being here and worshiping and praying. It helped run some devils off. And devils come to church a lot. They come to church more faithfully than most Christians. But they leave whenever you start praising Jesus. They don't want to hang around that. Okay, they just say, "Hey, I'm out of here," you know. And you know, I've seen them sometime when they go out. You know, I've seen them run down the aisle. You know, I mean, just maybe two or three people here praying. You know, and you're praying and rebuking some devils. You know, and man, I've seen them run out the door. You know, just it's like shut up. You know, because they want to be praised. Devils want to be glorified. A lying spirit wants you to lie because it glorifies them. A stealing spirit wants you to steal because it makes them feel good about themselves. They motivated you to steal. And so they try and come against us so often. Use your authority as an ambassador of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. And I do thank you for the patience of these folks, Lord. And I thank you for them just putting up with me, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord, to bless them bountifully. Help me to walk in your word, first of all, Lord. Father God, that might please you and bless these folks. I pray, Lord, blessing upon Roger Daniel and his family, Lord God, has lost this loved one. And here Paula is still on her first day in heaven and just enjoying it more than we could ever dream. But, Lord, comfort that family and Thank you, Lord, for all these folks that have signed up for food, Lord, just to help this family, Lord God. Lord, these folks, Lord, just bless them bountifully, Lord. I thank you for them. Go with us, Lord. Be with those, Lord, that have been streaming. And, Lord, I pray that you will send them to your house, Lord. And there are those who can't get out of the house. But, Lord, just help us to be a blessing to them. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Lord, bless you. Thank you, Dustin, for your help in streaming.